Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am again your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, back again from the dead, Aaron Flottam.
Yes, from the dead, John. How you doing, guy? It's been a while. 2 weeks, man.
It has. Well, I stumbled through a lot of horrible things last week, and it went a lot faster without you having to spend 5 minutes telling us first off what your Twitter handle is, and what is that?
Yes. It's at Cheddar Talk, which was recently, I was told, I asked someone to rate my my Twitter account, and they said I'm a good guy, but meh account.
Oh.
That's not good.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
Oh, no.
Anyhow, though,
I'm disappointed in myself mostly. Thank you, PackRunner, for that, at PackRunner_CR.
Okay. Jerk. And you can follow the show too at ScannyJohnny1. That is ScannyJonny and the number one. And you can follow me at JBarn54. You can also send stuff to the show at it's at ScannyJohnny@gmail.com. But we don't have a lot of time, hopefully, and we got a lot more things to get through with you here today. So, Aaron, let's get right into everything with the main event. Starting things off with the main event. Okay, we do have little ticks of Packer news here. Not really like anything big happening. Just the combine is going on. The first big thing with the combine, the so far the stud that everybody is talking about, and that will get far too much press coverage in this, has been DK Metcalf. He's the receiver out of Ole Miss.
He's big.
Yeah.
I know that. He's fast.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're like, well, he's fast and he's built like a linebacker. And I was like, always reminded when I hear about big, strong wide receivers like that of Robert Ferguson, who was a physical beast and always hurt because he was far too tight a body.
Right.
And you're just like, I don't necessarily want giant, thick wide receivers all the time.
No. Name the last giant, thick wide receiver that was any good. Kelvin Benjamin sure didn't pan out.
He's not really thick. Well, he's thick now.
He's fat.
But he wasn't necessarily thick then. He was big and tall. Megatron. You know, he was tall and he was muscular, but he was more wiry than he was thick.
Right. He was still long and thin, and I mean, maybe the best wide receiver, definitely of our generation. Randy Moss was skin and bones.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty scrawny, and yeah, obviously Jerry Rice was a very thin guy too.
Don Hudson was pretty svelte. Yes, yeah.
Donald Driver, Robert Brooks. Guys like Sterling Sharp or Terrell Owens were pretty thick, but not like this guy.
I was going to say actually, Sterling Sharp might be the closest thing to Metcalf that you could actually come up with, because Sterling Sharp was a big dude, but
he was a great route runner. Like, that guy could get open, and he knew the defense that he was looking at. I didn't hear this guy's name a lot coming into this offseason. Like, he's become a name. I always hate anybody who becomes a bigger name after they stop playing games.
Right.
Like, we were talking about Kyler Murray. We were talking about him all the time. He won a Heisman. And now they're like, hey, he's actually 5'10 and 3/8 or whatever. Like, great. Mm-hmm. Now just stop talking about that. He's going to be the first overall pick. Unless Arizona's going to trade it away for something crazy or whatever.
It always happens this time of year, too, that what was it? Like Carson Wentz, like before the draft talks even started, coming out of North Dakota State, right? North Dakota State? Yeah, North Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Yep. No. Bison.
Bison, that's right. Okay, Bison. Never mind. South Dakota's the Jackrabbits. Yep. Never mind. My bad. How dare I insult Brookings, South Dakota? But yeah, coming out, he was like 20. Like, he was going to be able to be picked up by, you know, there was talks like the Patriots, you know, this would be their next project quarterback late in the first round. Well, lo and behold, by the time the draft comes, he's the number one overall pick. Now, injuries aside, he's pretty much kind of shown that he might have been worth it. I mean, besides the fact that he looks like Prince Harry, he should be. I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, which has kind of been a problem for him. But, I mean, just like the ridiculous nature of some things. Like when the Vikings took that Morris Boehringer in the sixth round, the kid from Germany that was playing like bar league football in Germany. He's still on practice. He's still on practice squad, so he's on Cincinnati's practice squad, I think, right now still. But I mean, that guy was not going to be in the league, but somehow, because all this talk during draft, you know, good players will get talked, or certain players will get talked up to the top because of certain unique abilities that they have, whether it be, you know, being tall and running fast, or just being a physical freak of nature. But in the end, you know, the NFL is won by the picks you make in the second through the fourth round.
Yeah, that, so Moritz, is it Moritz Behringer or whatever? He was actually very interesting before the draft. If you watched his film from Germany, it's ridiculous. The play was, he does like a wide receiver screen and runs for 80 yards. It was like he was just way better than all the other German football players. But you know,
right, and he was basically playing against teams that were as good as NAIA football teams. Right.
Yeah, so, had no idea what you were talking about or what you were looking at there, so it was hard to tell. But it was worth a late round pick. I mean, people were talking about him, and he, just as a guy you put on your practice squad. So you're not going to pick him in the first five rounds, but six or seven, I could have seen that. I wouldn't have been mad if the Packers had picked him, but
no, neither would have I. But I'm just saying that, like, all of a sudden, I remember he got brought up before the draft, and nobody had ever heard of this guy. And then he went from who's going to get him as an undrafted free agent to someone actually spending a draft pick on him. So
yeah. Here's the one great thing, though. DK Metcalf is moving up. He's moving up boards, and he's going to cross some players who really should be the first round. He's going to be the Darius Hayward Bay of this draft. Somebody's going to fall in love with the numbers. And they're going to do so in such a way that will mean if he can move into the top 10, which I think he can, then that's going to help the Packers in that 12th round, in that 12th pick overall. The more guys who can just be like some weird freak person who moves into that top 10 and pushes edge rushers to the 12 spot, the more of that that can happen, the better off we will all be.
Right, and I wish I could remember the handle that tweeted it today, too, but I shared it with you before. My favorite tweet today was, some poor team, just think about it, some poor team's going to spend a top 10 pick on a guy that's going to be on their practice squad to start the season. So, yes, yeah. By all means, do. Yeah, if you're not taking the next Justin Houston out of the draft, go right ahead. Have fun.
Yeah. The other big thing that did happen Packers news this week is, of course, the Mike McCarthy news that came out.
He is an angry fan.
It seems that way. And in all fairness, he just might be remembering any number of different referee conversations he's already had in the past and might be just reliving some of those moments. But, Mike, those days are gone. Just watch your kid play basketball. You know, let it go.
And there was some other stuff brought up too, you know, and I guess there was some, it was just security camera video, but I heard on enough talk shows this week that WIA referees were calling in and saying, well, whatever they did, you can see that they turned around and they barked back at McCarthy because McCarthy wasn't approaching them. He was just talking at them as he was walking by, and it wasn't until they said something back that he started going after them. Which referees aren't supposed to say things back to fans when they get critiqued at the end of the game like that.
Sure, but it seems like he followed them out of the gym, and that's not okay.
He ate them.
So yeah, no, and by no means this podcast has been a very pro Mike McCarthy. We like him. We're very, you know, I mean, it was time for him to go, but we were not among the group looking to chase him out of town quickly. In fact, Aaron, you've talked at length about how you thought he should have finished out the season, but this moment is a bad moment for Mike McCarthy, and I really hope he comes out better than this going forward, because that's, I mean, it's a bad look, and you know, you should just be enjoying your children at this point. You're getting paid quite a few millions of dollars to not coach football this year. Just hang back, you know, relax a little bit, let it go. I mean, he's built up something there, so you got to let that go.
One thing that actually kind of threw me off when I heard about all this was it was in Green Bay. You know, his stepson played for which team against? They're playing against Pulaski because it was at Pulaski.
At Pulaski.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been here forever, but yeah, he still lives in Green Bay. How weird is that?
Well, if nothing else, he wanted to let his children finish out the school year and everything too. So
right.
That part's not so weird, but maybe he'll hang out for the whole next year and let his kids finish high school and stuff and just be you know, be around town and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's like the couple that I know that got married, that got divorced, and then they like live two blocks away from each other. Like, wouldn't that get kind of weird after a while? You know, I don't know.
I have a divorce I just finished up where they live now about a block away from each other, but it was one person's choice and not the others.
So, right, exactly, because that's how it always works.
Because she doesn't want to see him anymore at all. So
that's the same thing with Green Bay and Mike McCarthy. Green Bay doesn't want to see Mike McCarthy anymore, but he's still there. Yeah, you know, like, hi, Mike, what's going on, man? All right, I'm just going out to the basketball game tonight. Oh, okay, all right. You still live here, huh? Where do you live? Oh, right in town here, huh? That's odd. We thought you would have left after you got fired.
So yeah, it's not a great story. We're sad to hear that, but it is Packers related, so we were gonna at least talk about that for a little bit. We'll move along here in our main event. We're talking next. There is Brewers, and I know Aaron. This is basically preseason baseball, but I've never been, and I love baseball, and I love listening to baseball on the radio, even, and doing all those things. But it's just, you know, spring training baseball.
I'm really looking forward to spending when I'm retired, spending a month in Arizona watching them play. Oh, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, like having them just on their just. Having these games, I'm not as excited for preseason baseball as I am for preseason football even a spring game, I guess, at this point. But, you know, part of that's just, you know, I would rather watch football than anything else. But the interesting things to point out is that, you know, some of the young guys who are doing things here in spring training, the leaders in the batting average right now are Tyrone Taylor and Corey Ray. I mentioned Corey Ray last week. I know you heard that. Mm-hmm. I think he had the first home run of the season for the Brewers, and he's doing pretty well. He's batting .278, which, you know, it's like that's leading in spring training, but not everybody gets as many at bats. Taylor is batting .368 in leading the Brewers. And of course, Hernan Perez leads the team in home runs. What are they, like 11 games into this or something? 10 games in. I think they're 3-7 right now.
Yeah,
he has 3 home runs.
Yeah,
he also has 9 RBI. But you recall he had 7 in one game.
Game, yes.
There are four players tied with 1 stolen base to lead the team, which of course means that Jesus Aguilar is tied for 5th place on the Brewers in stolen bases, along with Moustakas, I guess. Taylor has an OBP of 400, and Ray is slugging .667. So, I mean, Ray has been playing pretty well. He's got 2 home runs. Urseg's got 2 home runs. Spangenberg's got 2 home runs. Kratz has been out there. Moustakas has a home run. Grisham, not John Grisham or anything like that, but Trent Grisham.
Oh, okay.
A 22-year-old who's playing center field for the Brewers. They're trying to get a lot of other people out there into center field, I think, too, to try to see, you know, who's going to back up and who's going to be out there. So it's an interesting thing to see what they're doing in terms of moving people around in the center field, giving a lot of people a chance to play the center field. The big thing is spring training is just getting guys a chance to practice, guys a chance to play a little bit. So guys like Hernan Perez, who are going to be very useful for the Brewers this season and who are going to be very important, are getting a lot of play. And also the guys who are the higher-rated AAA guys, they're going to get their chance against some major league pitching and get a look out there. But Corey Ray and Tyrone Taylor have looked very good so far in the preseason here in spring training, and it's just nice to see some of those guys.
You got more minutes out of this portion of the show than I thought you were going to. You really impressed me there. I couldn't believe you were going to get that. You got almost 3 solid minutes out of Cactus League baseball, so good job, John.
Well, of course. And that is all just leading up to the ghost of Jimmy Nelson.
Right, because that's the only thing I was going to talk about. But
the ghost of Jimmy Nelson appeared. He was seen. The apparition appeared to several. It's been recorded. He had a bullpen pitching session and faced live batters. So that's great. It's nice to see him out there throwing a ball.
And the reports were it was a 3-up, 3-down inning for him on 20 pitches. So that's good.
Yeah, build him back up. I mean, if he's there, even if he, you know, if they take him slowly and take him into, May. If he's playing in May and he gets into that rotation, and we've got Chaussin and him, and you know, if I don't know who else there's a bunch of people competing basically for the next three spots. If you've got those two up there, so as long as you can have two good guys like Chaussin and Nelson at the top of that order, and if you can bring back, you know, Davies and some of those guys there in the back part of that order, it'll be solid enough. It's not going to be the rock solid one that everybody was hoping for, but you know, you get something. And then Keuchel's still out there. He didn't go away.
No, he didn't. Although he's going to want 13 years on his contract after what happened the last week.
Me too. Me too.
Just 2 weeks ago on this podcast, we were talking about how, there's never going to be any long contracts anymore. They're all over and done with. And then Machado gets 10 years, 300, and Harper gets 13, 330. And like, I am going to be 52 years old when Bryce Harper's contract runs out. And remember, unlike Machado's has opt-outs. It has a 5-year opt-out for him and then a 7-year opt-out for the team. There are no opt-outs on Harper's contract. It's 13 years long, period.
And the other thing they keep saying is
baseball's going to be dead in 13 years.
No, it's not, because it still makes makes billions of dollars.
Billions
of dollars, because it's local and it all wins locally, and they all are on TV, and there's so many games. Then they
ever watched Futurama? It's just gonna be Blurnsball.
Blurnsball
in 13 years. Yes,
do love Blurnsball.
Blurnsball, yes.
So like, let me get this right. It's the bottom of the Blurns. The Blurn infield Blurns rule is effect, and. Yep. There are two runners on Blurns. The Blurns are loaded. It's like, besides the word Blurns, everything you said was total gibberish.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. And the head of Bob Uecker was calling the game. Just remember that.
That's true, yes. So that's as much as I can stretch about Brewers at this point. So we'll get more and more as we go, and it'll be a little more exciting as we get closer to actual game day and real games and everything. So that should be fun. In terms of, we're getting into basketball, and this was a week where basketball was not at its greatest. I mean, the Bucks played well, but they still had a loss. Marquette and Wisconsin did not play particularly well or up to their current standards. We'll start with Marquette, who actually got up to number 10, Aaron. Number 10.
They had been in the top 10, then they fell out of the top 10, then they got back into the top 10, and now they'll probably be like number 20.
Yeah, they did not have a week to remember. Since we last talked, because of course last time we were very excited because they were beating up on all the bottom dwelling schools of the Big East. You know, they had Butler and Providence and DePaul, and they crushed them. They just crushed them all. And then they got Villanova, who has been second in the Big East. I don't think they're ranked at this point anymore, though.
They were 20. They're 23 now.
Okay.
After beating Marquette.
So. All right. Yeah, when they played Marquette, it was number 10 ranked Marquette at unranked Villanova, and
Villanova's not the team that won the national championship. I mean,
no, several guys are gone from that team. It's just
right. I mean, they lost DiVincenzo and who's the other kid? Either way, but yeah, so Villanova, good program, but not, you know, what it used to be. So
it's a program that was built on keeping a lot of those guys and making, you know, having players around and getting them all the way to senior year. I mean, this is one where they were like. Marquette was winning this game up until like 2:38 left in the game. Sadiq Bey made a 3-point jump shot, turned it from 60 to 58 up to a 60 to 61. And Marquette never took the lead back in the last 2.5 minutes of that game. A couple free throws here and there, a couple missed shots. I mean, some free throws for Marquette. And it was just kind of fouls down the end. After that 3-pointer, actually, I'm looking at this now. Every single point. From the point in which Villanova took the lead at 61-60, every single point was a free throw for the last 2.5 minutes.
That's gross.
Yeah, sorry. That's not the sort of game that you want if you're Marquette. I mean, Marquette has some scorers. I mean, we've gone over this before. Howard, of course, has been great. He got 25 in that game, which is right around his season average.
He's got 9 30-point games this year. That's, I mean, take away the two kids from Duke, and he's number one overall. But, of course, Zion Williamson is just insane. Yeah. And Barrett, I mean, they're going to be 1-2, but otherwise, this kid's really good.
25.5 points a game, 4 rebounds a game. Yeah, he had a great game. Hauser, one of the Hausers, because there's the two Hauser brothers. This one, is it Sam Hauser? He ended up with 13 points. He normally gets 14, so he's right around his season average. And his brother Joey got another 8. But then, like, John and Anim both only got 2. They got a total of 11 points from the bench. So, I mean, he had 25 points, and they scored 61. They just couldn't get enough out of their players. Jermaine Samuels, who averages 5.3 points a game, a sophomore for Villanova, had 29.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's... Yeah, so that's a tough loss, but that's a great team. I mean, they are still a good team. That's still a team that you have to contend with, and they're the second best team in the Big East. Actually, they're the best team now because they passed Marquette this week.
Right, and it was at Nova too. On top of it, I mean,
yeah.
So and they lost by 6. That's going to happen. You're going to lose games to Nova at Nova, but losing at Fiserv to the pride of Omaha.
And no, not the Bulls of UNO, but the Blue Jays of Creighton. No. The Blue Jays of Creighton. And that was just, that was rough. Marquette was up at half. They were up at half 33-29, and they lost. The second half, they were outscored by 10 points in the second half. So this is consecutive second halves where they let games get away from them and just so strange. Howard.
You know, they have white and blue jerseys. Maybe they thought they were playing Duke, and they forgot, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. Howard had 33 in this game, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 of 11 from 3, 11 of 21 from the floor, played 39 minutes. And nobody else hit double digits. The next highest scoring player was Anim with 7. So that's just hard. Sakar Anim only had 7 points. And only Joey Hauser got above 5. So they had 3 players above 5 points. One of them.
And what have we learned from James Harden? You can score as many points as you want. Your team's still not going to win.
And they've had good bench play. They've had good points usually from those other players and getting contributions around the floor. But, yeah, they just did not have it. Creighton, every one of their starters had 6 or more. And 3 of them were in double digits. So, yeah, that's... You know, it's hard to fight that. They lose 2 in a row. They drop to 16th. They were number 10. They dropped to 16 now, and they've got Seton Hall and then Georgetown to end out the year here. So those are two teams with winning records, 16-12 for Seton Hall, 18-11 for Georgetown. The resurgent Georgetown Hoyas led by Patrick Ewing. So, yeah.
Love Patrick Ewing.
They should win those two. They should get back on top of the Big East and get into the tournament there and be fine. I still think they're a Sweet 16 team. They're going to be fine. They're going to be probably a 3 seed, is my guess.
The thing is, too, is that both – I mean, if the Bucks learn how to make a free throw in the next 2 weeks, Joe Lunardi, the bracketologist for ESPN, has the Bucks still as the number 4 team in the playoff. Or in
Badgers.
What's that?
Badgers, not the Bucks.
Did I say the Bucks? Sorry, I'm moving along. I was watching the game cast in the background here. Sorry. Monday nights, yes, the Bucks are playing. The Badgers are going to be a number 4 team, and I think they had Marquette as a 4/3. So, I mean,
yeah,
potentially both could make the 16. I'd like to see it myself, but until the Badgers start making free throws and being so wildly inconsistent. I think Marquette's got the better shot.
Like we said, and here's the thing, to local attorney who listens to the show, Jared Redfield, had pointed out a couple weeks back. I said,
hi, Jared.
Yeah, I said, maybe the Badgers are getting onto a streak and getting back. And he said, no, it looks like they're going to be inconsistent and probably up and down this year. Now, the thing is, like, when they beat Michigan, they continue to get some good wins. They beat Maryland. They get back, beat Minnesota and some of the other things. Had those 2 rough games against Michigan and Michigan State, and they've been in kind of a funk since then, but this is the time to get your funk. Like last week, we talked about they beat Illinois in a game they really could have lost. And they held on in the fourth quarter. They beat Northwestern in what was a close game, and they came out and beat them in the fourth quarter. And luck ran out. They played Indiana into double overtime. In double overtime, the Badgers managed only 73 points. They played two overtime periods and only got up to 73 and lose by 2 points to Indiana in Indiana. That's still one they should win. And then Badgers came back home and beat Penn State in a game that was close to the end. It really was. And, you know, as my dad was describing it, too, he said, he's like, yeah, two calls at the end of the game go the other way. And this is a bad, bad loss for Wisconsin. There was, a couple free throws late on some bad calls that went that way. And they were lucky. I mean, they were lucky to get out of this one with the win, 61-57. this one, too, was one where they got a lot of help from a bench player finally. Pritzel stepped up and got 17 points. Brevin Pritzel, which is Brevin is such a great first name. That's wonderful. He went 5 for 5, including 4 for 4 from 3-point range, 17 points. He outscored every other player on the team, and he did it from the bench. He played 25 minutes. Kobe King had 9, and Ethan Happ finished the game 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Happ and Pritzel were the only two players in double digits. Kobe King had 9. He was 3rd in scoring coming off the bench. Reavers had 3. Davison, Iverson, and Trice each had 6. Not the greatest. Reavers, though, 9 rebounds to go along with his 3 points. I want to double check.
That always helps.
Yeah, I want to double check his block numbers. He had 2 blocks, led the team in blocks. The team had 4. He had 2 of them. I really like Reavers. I think he's been fun to watch. I mean, he's a big guy out there, but he can shoot from wherever. He's averaging 8 points, 4 rebounds, and an assist a game, basically. And he's a sophomore. He's a 6'11 sophomore who weighs as much as that wide receiver, Metcalf. You know, it's like, I think he's good. He's got a good shot. He rebounds well.
How is his lateral speed? Is he often compared to a linebacker?
Well, he gets a lot of blocks, so that leads you to believe that he understands defense, and defense is about lateral movement. Right, James Harden?
Right. All 4 steps of lateral movement.
Yeah, so not the greatest of little stretches here. Wisconsin now is at ranked 21. They have unranked Iowa. Beating Penn State gave Wisconsin its 20th win, which it should have been at Indiana, but they got 20-9 right now. They are in 4th place in the Big Ten, and they have Iowa at home, and then they have to go to Ohio State, who's 18-11. But those are games you'd hope they can win. And then if they can do that, they can stay in that top 4, which is really important because it gets you an extra day off in the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
And so that's the important thing. So the Badgers need to find a way to win out, get themselves a good look in the Big Ten tournament, get ready for tournament play, and then they're going to the NCAA tournament. We're not questioning that.
Well, if they were to tank the last two games? Last 2 games, it might do some damage, but I doubt they'll be in the NIT.
Right. They better not. It would be ridiculous. So since we last talked, the last time we were on, the Bucks beat the Bulls, moving on to our professional basketball team.
Oh, those Bucks?
Yeah, then the Bucks got an overtime win over the Kings, 141-140, and then where are they? They beat the Lakers, which I know you found especially satisfying.
I think I think non-Bucks fans found that satisfying. Basically, everyone just watching the egomaniac LeBron James. I'll give it to him. He's one of the best players of all time, if not the best. I'm not going to lie. But just watching that whole thing crumble, it's a exercise in Schadenfreude. No doubt, but with all the super teams and players going where they want to go and just kind of watching that whole Anthony Davis thing blow up in their face and then watch the Bucks. Cause you got to remember the Bucks were behind most of the game and then it was a strong fourth quarter and they walked away with it. So, I, for one, as a Bucks fan, was super happy to see that. What I'm not happy to see right now, though, is we'll talk about that. So the next game, and then they lost to the Jazz in a game where Brogdon and Bledsoe were both sitting out. Eric Bledsoe, big 4-year, $70 million extension. Bledsoe was the player that I think everybody thought was going to leave, by the way. And I'm happy to see him around. His defense has been awesome. Eric Bledsoe might be the most underrated superstar sidekick.
Okay,
so in the NBA, that was a on the complex.com had that, and I haven't read the article yet. That was just the headline, so I'm going to follow up on that one later. But
it was like the third sidekick, or second sidekick. He's like the second sidekick there because he's
right.
He's not even the next guy in line after Giannis.
Yeah. So and the Bucks lost to the Jazz in a game where their best player went off for 43 points. It was the back to back over it was the fourth game of a 5-game road trip after a super emotional game at LA. And with those two guys sitting out, you're going to lose those games once in a while. You know, right now the Bucks are up. They won the first three games of a 5-game road trip. If you're going to go on a 5-game West Coast road trip, starting in Chicago and then going West Coast, if you win three games, that's a win. I mean, so they were already up, you know. And so, and I'm glad they did win the first three games because as of right now, the Bucks are losing to the Suns with a minute 26 left. They had a lead, and looks like the Suns have gone on about a 12-2 run. I don't watch the games anymore when we're doing the podcast because it takes up too much of my attention. So I'm just watching the game cast.
Yeah, and, it was a 100-100 game, and then it was Kelly Oubre Jr. getting the go-ahead three-pointer there. That's not the name you wanted to see at that point. They're taking the lead. Here's an interesting fact, too. This game, Bucks versus Suns, features the only team to have currently clinched their playoff spot versus the only team currently eliminated from the playoffs.
Yes, and they're about to lose to them. although Malcolm Brogdon just drained a three-pointer, so now it's tied. But anyway, we're not doing play-by-play here. So
the Bucks have still been great. I mean, like you said, it's a road stretch. You get one of those every now and then. You even talked about the measurements on that some point in an earlier podcast.
Oh, the Moss score?
Yeah. That had to be somewhere in there. It's a long road trip out west, too. You know, they're playing out the Sacramento. They're playing the Lakers. They're playing to Utah, to Arizona. That's still a bunch of ground they're covering, but they're all staying out there in a different time zone. It's a long time to be away for something like that. Bucks, they're like 2.5 clear right now, I believe, of Toronto. And they've got a game in hand, I think, at this point, too. I think they're gonna stay on top of the East. Everybody's gonna have to come through Milwaukee to get out of here, and I think they're gonna win the Eastern Conference. I just think they're gonna go to the NBA Finals, where they will find a Golden State team in the only games they care about all year.
Right.
So it'll be fun.
You've hit it on the head. The only two teams I see really having a problem with in any playoff stretch would be Philadelphia. It has some obvious star power with Embiid and the kid that doesn't shoot three-pointers and the guy that the Timberwolves got rid of.
Wiggins.
And then Boston. I mean, if Boston could pull their collective out of their rear end, they might. They have the star power, but my goodness, watching Boston play at any time. First of all, is Kyrie Irving an act? Does he act like that intentionally, or is he just like that?
He's an odd cat. I mean, he believes the earth is flat. I don't know what goes through his mind.
No, he rescinded that now, saying that was being misconstrued what he was saying.
No, I mean, they got it on recording. He specifically, when asked to rescind, you don't really mean the earth is flat. He's like, of course I do. It's flat. It's all flat. Look around.
Right,
you.
Exactly.
It's a lie.
So he's an odd one. I'd like to see him, and he can go to New York, but it'd be perfect. But I mean, they got tons of talent, so I mean, if they pull it together, but it seems like that locker room's turned on Brad Stevens, which I don't know how a locker room turns on Brad Stevens, but
he's the guy who got you there before. Why I don't understand why you would. He's a great coach. I think the problem is I don't think he can handle a guy who is convinced he's the reason that they won in Cleveland. He's convinced of that, I'm sure.
And he's just convinced of the reason why they won in the playoffs last year, even though he didn't play in the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. And
he's a flat earther. I mean, come on.
And I don't think he believes in the system, and he's not running it. And that's the problem, is like, you have him. He's not a guy who can play in that system. He's not a system guy. He's an artist. He's a guy who goes out there and just, he's going to go do something interesting and exciting, and you're going to watch it. But, yeah, I mean, like, he's not a guy who's just going to, like, this is where I pass, and now I got to go over here, and I'm going to set a screen? No. So I don't know. That part is interesting to me on that. And right, here's the thing to tell you, the NBA's mindset right now. The Sunday primetime game on ABC this Saturday, or Saturday primetime game, 8:30 Eastern, but Celtics and Lakers. And you're like, well, those, what?
Right.
But it'll be interesting to watch, because the NBA is more a show than an event. You know, it's more
pro wrestling, man. It's pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's about names, and you want to watch that because you've got Kyrie and LeBron, not because the teams are any good. Whereas in the NFL, you have to have good teams for the most part.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. We got through all the big things. So that is the end of our main event. So we'll walk you into the things where we try to cover other important Wisconsin sports news in what we call the tail.
Rapid fire time now with the tail, covering Wisconsin's other sporting events.
So the couple things we do, normally a lot of our tail is obviously hockey related because it's the stuff that doesn't come up. One basketball thing, UW Oshkosh Titans beat Lake Forest in the NCAA tournament, and men's tournament, and they did move on. It was an 86-62 win. The only other Wisconsin team to make the men's tournament in D3 was UW La Crosse. Go Eagles, my alma mater. And they promptly lost to the other school I went to for undergrad, the University of St. Thomas Tommies from St. Paul. And that was an 80-66 loss for the Eagles. It was always fun when I told people where I went to college during my freshman year, and I'd be like, oh, I went to St. Thomas. And they would always be like, the island? I was like, no. No.
St. Thomas. That would have been too nice.
In St. Paul. Oh, okay. Yes. It's a gorgeous campus. It's beautiful. And it's beautiful because you paid for it.
So you went from the St. Thomas Tommies to the La Crosse Lackeys then?
No.
Is that how that works?
Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. That's right. Yeah, sorry. We don't use that naming convention on this side of the border.
Go Eagles. But yeah, great year for the Eagles, who in my entire time at La Crosse were no good. And I believe we went and did the math on this, my law partner and I. And I believe they won during my senior year something like 5 games. But they got the NCAA tournament before they fell out this year. So good for them, and good luck to UW-0 moving on in the tournament. In terms of...
Good luck, Titans.
Yeah. And in terms of D1 hockey, the men's hockey team actually shocked me this weekend. They did something I was not expecting from them. Swept Michigan.
Oh. Holy smokes.
They swept Michigan in 2 straight overtime games. Friday night, it was actually 4-3 Wisconsin leading with 3 minutes left in the game. At the 2:51 mark, Michigan got a goal to tie it up at 4-4. Sean Doogie, one of our favorites, Sean Doogie, Seamus Malone, some of our favorites, but Sean Doogie gets the overtime game-winning goal. It was his 2nd goal of the game. Badgers get the 5-4 win at home at the Kohl Center against the Michigan Wolverines. On Saturday, Michigan was up 3-2, and Ty Emberton got the game-tying goal, and Linus Weisbach, who we've mentioned before, went out and got the game-winning goal. Badgers win 4-3 in overtime on Saturday. So the congratulations for them on that. It actually, the Badgers ended up the year with a winning record at home and a losing record on the road and a losing record overall. But they're going into the Big Ten tournament now. And by sweeping Michigan, they finished 2nd to last. Michigan State falls into last place. Badgers moved up 1 spot. So, you know, it's nice to not be in the basement. And as a congratulations for that, the Badgers will play number 19 Penn State, the team who they just had a very exciting weekend with last week. So they will have a 2-game series in the Big Ten tournament against Penn State Friday, Saturday. If you're anywhere around the Madison area, go check that out. If you can get a ticket, go check it out. It's going to be very exciting. The last time they played, what were the games? I think it was last week we mentioned. Go back and listen to us last week. I think it was 7-2 and then 6-4 or something like this, 6-1. Exciting games. There's going to be a lot of scoring. Penn State plays a high up-tempo game, And the Badgers have a very aggressive forecheck, and they do move the puck very well, and they do attack on that offensive end. So look for that to be a very exciting hockey series this weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't expect the Badgers to win the Big Ten tournament or anything, but that is the only hope they have of getting into the NCAA tournament. They are not in the top 30 even in RPI or the pairwise, so they don't have any shot. But the team,
well, at least they know their path to success. They have to win the Big
Ten tournament. They have to win out the Big Ten tournament, yeah.
There you go. We know what we need to do, boys. We've been messing around all year long. Now we can. All we have to do is win this tournament, and we're in.
You guys just make that happen, guys. Let's go. In terms of Wisconsin's more favored team, the Wisconsin women dropped to number 2 after that rough weekend against Ohio State last week. But they start the WCHA tournament, as you recall. The women's team did not go into a Big Ten conference. They stayed in the Western Collegiate Hockey Association.
The way it's supposed to be.
The way it has been my entire life. The hockey sweater I have upstairs has a WCHA logo on it. I mean, it's the way it's been my whole life.
Not to take away from the women's side, we'll go back to that in just a second here, but like the WCHA, we're going to leave that. We're going to start this Big Ten. And then in the meantime, I was just looking at number 1, 3, and 4 on the men's side are all from the WCHA, St. Cloud State, Mankato State, and UMD.
I think their records just looked inflated because they didn't play Minnesota and Wisconsin, whereas Minnesota and Wisconsin are playing Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State. I mean, not that the WCHA doesn't have good teams, because UMD, St. Cloud State, great teams. I mean, they definitely belong in the top groups. But Denver, Colorado College, also great teams. Lots of championships out of those schools as well. UMD won national titles when they were in the WCHA with all the other teams anyhow.
They won the national championship last year.
Yes, they did. But that was without us, so that doesn't count as much. But, yeah, they're great. They've been great. No, they were great when they even had to compete against teams that the teams that left. They were still great then. North Dakota, UMD, all those, Denver. It was great to have those rivalries with UMD and, more for Wisconsin. We always love seeing Minnesota and North Dakota. And there were a lot of great games with Denver and Colorado College. And, of course, remembering that Anchorage, Alaska was in there too. So,
yes,
definitely the travel cut down by staying in the Big Ten, where you just have to go to Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Columbus, and all that, stay in that little group rather than having to go as far out west as the Western Collegiate Hockey Association goes. Anyhow, Wisconsin defeats St. Cloud State. And after the Ohio State series, they came out angry because they swept St. Cloud State. They beat them 5-0 on a game where Britta Curl had 2 goals, got other goals from Annie Pankowski, Emily Clark, and Presley Norby. And then on Saturday, they beat that same team 8-0. Annie Pankowski had a hat trick. Britta Curl also had a goal. But what it actually led to is Britta's goal was earlier. So Britta and Annie Pankowski both crossed into the 20-goal mark for the season in that game. And Britta did it first. And Britta, she's a freshman, and Annie is the senior captain. So both of them, great, great seasons, like we've talked about all year long. And congratulations to Annie Pankowski on the hat trick in the WCHA tournament. The next one they get to play is Ohio State. So that'll be interesting to get right back to there, and hopefully they can get something back on that. In terms of moving down to the D3 level in D3 women's, UW River Falls and UW Eau Claire both make the NCAA tournament. Eau Claire won the WIAC. They will get to host St. Thomas and St. Thomas Tommies, and River Falls will go play Hamlin. So this is Wisconsin versus the Twin Cities here in women's hockey, it looks like. So Hamlin and St. Thomas will get to take on River Falls and Eau Claire. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, or St. Thomas and Hamlin, basically all the schools that all my friends went to get law degrees.
Right. And then you had Marquette, where Brandon went to, so... We've hit a bunch of our schools. Yeah. I didn't go to St. Thomas for my law degree, though, I guess. I got a very good scholarship offer there, but I wanted to go to Madison. In men's hockey, UWSP beats Eau Claire in a great WIAC final. It was the Pointers took the first goal lead, and then it was tied 1-1. Pointers get another goal, and then Eau Claire came right back and tied it up 2-2. Pointers get the late third goal lead, and they win this one 3-2. Now, what I guess I did not know is I was looking through this and reading this to get ready for today, because the brackets came out today on Monday, and UWSP got in as an at-large because there are 8 automatic conference qualifying bids out of the 12 teams that get in, so there's 4 at-large. The WIAC is not one of the automatic bids.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that back from old UW Superior days when they were really good. I remember that. Yeah, they're not one of the automatic bids, which is insane because they're one of the best conferences. But the East Coast holds all the automatic ins.
Not quite all. The NCHA, they have an automatic bid. And that was St. Norbert's. So there's another Wisconsin school getting there, obviously. So St. Norbert's gets in. They get to play Augsburg. And the winner gets the right to play the number one undefeated UWSP Pointers. So here are the conferences that get automatic bids. The Commonwealth Coast Conference. The Massachusetts State Collegiate Athletic Conference. The Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Why does the MEAC get it and not the WEAC? That doesn't make sense to me. The New England Hockey Conference, the New England Small College Athletic Conference, the Northern Collegiate Hockey Association, or the NCHA, the State University of New York Athletic Conference, or the SUNY Athletic Conference, and the United Collegiate Hockey Conference. So they all get in. And
so basically, except for the MEAC and the NCHA, it's all schools that are between New York and Massachusetts.
New York, Massachusetts. So the at-large bids are actually Hobart, the University UMass Boston, State University of New York, Oswego, and then UWSP. Oswego ended up losing to Geneseo in their conference finals, so they get in as the at-large. Geneseo, the number 2 ranked team. They'll be on the far side of the bracket. The only time the Pointers will meet them is if they get to a national title game, which that would be great. It would be fantastic to be able to see that. So, and because if they're also playing, I will definitely be trying to get a chance to get tickets to watch the national championship game in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
That'll be the last time I watched an NCAA championship in Stevens Point was the Pointers 1990 championship, I believe. So that was quite a while ago, and that was a great one. So, yeah, congratulations to all those teams. Congratulations, River Falls, Eau Claire, Stevens Point, St. Norbert's. Again, back from the basketball stuff, lacrosse, Oshkosh. It's great to see a lot of great Wisconsin sports doing well in the different things there. So that's what we have in the tail. And so we'll wrap up our little weekly vignette here with our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings, because it's time for the last call.
Aaron, I've kind of had the stage to myself last week, so I really want to make sure you get the first chance at last call here.
Oh my goodness, John! Where to start? I'm just gonna go. I'm a little taken back right now, as everyone knows, because we've been discussing it. The Phoenix Suns did just beat the Bucks. That's the second time the Bucks have lost to the Suns this year, and in both games the Suns were 13.5 point underdogs. Beyond that, it's the sports abyss, and I was having a hard time coming up with anything really to talk about today, and I was listening to a lot of stuff, and I'm just going to leave it there with disappointing. The Bucks are playing well, thank goodness. The Badgers and Marquette are both just trying along this the draft stuff coming up here, the Metcalf kid, and just all the hype over everything. I mean, I had drill this last weekend here, and I'm literally watching kids watching their phones, watching people run 40-yard dashes, which might be the most boring thing, and maybe the lowest we've gotten as a sports community is just watching people run 40-yard dashes. and getting some sort of entertainment out of it. I don't know. So what do you think about that, John?
I think the biggest problem is going through and we watch these, and I just want to check my Twitter to see if there's anything else I wanted to comment on. And there's just row after row of videos of 40-yard dashes that are supposed to excite me. The thing is you watch these guys play, and you watch them play on, you know, against competition of their peers, and you kind of know who they are. The only thing the combine should do is confirm or expose something that you think you already know. And if it surprises you, then you go back to the tape. The problem is that none of us do that because we're just, you know, generally amateurs. And we got too many people who are going to fall in love with a number, and they're going to Darius Hayward Bay it all over the place with, but we really need that really cool giant wide receiver. And I'm like, I don't want it. I have no interest in anybody whose draft stock rises after they stop playing games.
No, I mean, looking at my Twitter feed, basically Mike Golic Jr. just wanted to share with everybody on Twitter that he found $20 while doing laundry, and John Arias from the Big Ten 70 showed a picture of his Billy Ripken Fleer baseball card, which I have four of those, by the way, including the whited out one. Let's see what else we got here. Andy Herman is even just basically talking about what we're talking about. The D Ford versus Houston thing. There you go. I mean, it's the abyss, man. What are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you where I go at this point. And the one thing I wanted to kind of talk about is I've watched some of the AAF and I enjoy it. And the first thing that it comes to mind with me is when I watch it is like, why can't any of these teams run the ball? And like we talked about it last week and I went through some of the players who are doing well. Jarrell Presley doing great with the hot shots, which they had an incredible game against the Legends. That was just, it went right down the wire, went to a 2-point conversion that was successful, that tied up a game, and they had to go from there. It was a very interesting game, and there's a lot of interesting storylines, a lot of great players who are doing very well, but the problem I don't get is that they can't run. Like, their linemen aren't opening holes, and their running backs can't get anywhere. And it just kind of reminds you how hard it is to find good running backs and how hard it is to train good linemen. And the problem that this league was meant to really solve is giving these offensive linemen a way to practice doing those things. I would really like to at some point see the NFL actually partner up with this league or two of the leagues even, if the XFL can do something that approaches real football and not the WWE sort of thing that it was before. The AAF looks like football. They got rid of the kickoffs, and they have the very interesting way of handling onside kicks, which is fun because it's still football. You know, the way they're doing it is not like a coin toss or something. It's a long fourth down play. So it's fun and it's interesting. The problem I have is I don't understand why we can't get a running game out of these players, why we can't get anything in terms of getting these linemen to open up holes, or is just everybody learning the pass block and every offense that they're coming out of learning the pass block and they can't get themselves going. And I would like to see them really develop these players and get something going from them. The other thing that I do want to say about the AAF is I enjoy it. I have liked it. I have my favorite team, who is currently tied for the lead in the West because they're all 2-2, basically, except for the Stallions, who are 1-3, which is sadly the team linked to former Packers players. But the one problem I have is that it's not a routine. When baseball starts, I come home, I listen to the game on the radio while I'm making dinner. It's my routine. It is the thing I do with baseball is that, you know, I turn on that radio and sometimes after dinner, I'll go watch the end of the game, but I'll sit there and I'll have it playing on speakers in the kitchen while I'm making dinner and I'll turn it back on after we're done eating dinner or whatever, or while I'm grilling or whatever. It's an easy thing to do and it's a routine. On Sundays, I watch football, but not now, you know, and I think that's my big problem is I want to watch more of the AAF. The problem is I have to make it a routine, and they don't really advertise to get me reminded. I think of it every Saturday and every Sunday that I'm like, oh yeah, it's like, what time are the Commanders playing? And I think about that, but I don't get it into a pattern. If they want this to happen, they have to make it a pattern of my life. And they're just hoping that it was just going to be the NFL spilling over. But the pattern of my season is Right now, you know, I watch a Badger game at night sometimes. Right now, I listen to my podcasts or my books on tape, which are not on tape. And every time I say tape, I'm reminded how old I am. But because nothing's on tape anymore. Yeah. But that's what I need. We need to find a way to get it into a rhythm, into a routine for me, because the games are good. And we should all be watching them because they're interesting and they're good. And some of these players are going to get better and find their way into an NFL roster. And you're going to wish you'd been watching them rather than watching the combine with a bunch of people, as Golic always tells me, you know, Mike Golic, the senior, the underwear Olympics. We got people playing real football and they will get lower ratings than the guys watching the underwear Olympics. And that's ridiculous. And that's the problem with America right now, I guess.
Well, and I think you kind of came around to it too, and it's just that whole thing about just getting it into your head, you know, like that's one of the problems with the NBA too. It's just not, you know, or baseball, the whole season, it's always there. You can always find a baseball game. Basketball, you're constantly checking the schedule. You know that there's going to be Sunday games, and the other problem is that the AAF and whoever else is, you know, and things in the past, if the XFL is going to come back, like you said, they're running into two big things, and one of them is March Madness. That sucks up a lot of the weekends coming up here soon. And the other thing, you know, it really cuts into my NASCAR time. You know, they play at the exact same time, and I'm to hell if I'm going to be not watching left-hand turns, John.
Okay. Fair enough. It's not my thing, but it's all well and good.
But they got a lot to go up against. But it's like you said it too. You hit it on the head. It's just this time of the year, you're not used to watching football.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is that we end the show with your mention of NASCAR. So that's where we'll cut it.
Welcome. I haven't missed one yet.
Yeah, we'll cut it. Yeah, yet. We'll cut that here for this week. And thank you for joining us as always, everybody. Remember to please. Whether you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or on Google Play or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever you listen to us, please share it with everybody else, all your friends. Share it with all of them, please. If you listen on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please do go in, give us a rating, give us a review, give us the 5-star rating, please, because you know we deserve it and we earned it, I think. And then
we're also, entitled to it.
We're entitled. We earned it. We're not entitled to things, but we earned it. And also please do share this again and follow us. As I've said before, you can follow the show at ScottyJohnny1. You can follow me at JBarn54, and you can always follow Aaron at CheddarTalk. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.